And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to the second half of today's program. Excuse me. We're talking about spring cleaning your relationship, what it is that needs to go. So reach out to us, 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. Marcos, well, we need to go check on the book, our second favorite book. The good book is the first. And then we have the electronic book, Facebook, that we would love for you to go to if you're not a friend of ours yet. Please visit us on Facebook and then type in Marriage Beyond the Vows, hit the like button, and you can post your comments and read what it is that Marcos has to say in response. So what are people talking about this morning?
All right. Well, we have many comments here. We'll read some of them. Loving you, Riri Simmons says, anything that is not of God, selfishness, spending outside of the budget, and adding more us time. So that's what they need to change in their relationship. So thank you so much for that. Jawaka Johnson says, selfishness, family involvement in our relationship, the pains from the past. Those are things that need to go. Deidrick Dark says, the Xbox and the DVR, laugh out loud, more time with me, please. So put that Xbox or that DVR at the yard sale and spend some time together. Denise Brown says, unforgiveness. That's a big one. And then Laverne Hall Cheeseboro says, the football draft.
Oh,
that's
got
to go. Well, don't worry. It'll be over before you know it. But then it'll be football season later on. There'll always be something. Then Sheree Oliver says him. And we actually commented on that one. We said, you know, be nice. Hopefully you're kidding. But if he has to go and there's some more serious issues, we do invite you to call in. We'll love to offer you some advice and some guidance as well. Elaine Campbell says, let go of the past pain. It's blocking the future. The Bible says all things have passed away. All things have become new. We got to live in our present so that we can live out our best life right now.
All right.
And then Angela Glover says, awesome show. T.D. Jakes, let it go. And I guess we're talking about one of his favorite lines about just letting it go. And that's what we're talking about. There are many things that we hold on to that we should let go of, but we are not letting go of them. So we want to encourage you. And then some others here have said that bottom line is they have questions they want to ask. So we invite you again. Call in. Tiffany, if you can give those numbers out again.
But of course, 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. We have a bunch of people already in the queue ready to call in with a couple of questions, maybe a couple of statements of triumph.
Okay.
In the spring cleaning department. We have Mrs. C on line three. Mrs. C, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning to both of you. I wanted to ask Brother Marcos, it was an earlier caller where he called in and said that they had premarital counseling and his wife knew from the get-go that he didn't want to have children. And my question to Brother Marcos today is I wanted to know, is that being, as he being a counselor, is that being of equally yoked at that present time? Shouldn't something have been said or done at that time?
Absolutely, it should have. And I don't know who did their premarital counseling, but it sounded that the focus, because it was hard. You know, sometimes one spouse calls and not both, so you don't hear both sides. But
right.
He said that that was discussed, but that it was kind of not really focused on. And then later on, it came back up. And honestly, in listening to that caller, it got me thinking. And a lot of times, that's when I wish I can talk to the other spouse. Because
right.
It got me thinking, all right, how much of that is she just compromising? But deep down in her heart, if she really wants to have children, it's going to come up again.
That's what I was thinking about. Not to say I had to call in and ask you that, because I know you talk about being equally yoked so often, you know. And God does want us to be fruitful. But, I mean, if he's already set in his ways and it came up in premarital counseling, that would have been a sign right there to me. No, sir.
Absolutely. But, you know, at this point, she married him, and now she has to submit. I mean, you know, she can either walk around bitter or she can do like a lot of the biblical women of, you know, of the Old Testament, even where they just really prayed to God to give them a child. And that's why when he said, you know, things are not going to change, I said, you never know. Like, if his
right.
heart would change towards having children, and that would be my encouragement at this point. They're married already, so the equally yoked doesn't even apply. They definitely were not compatible in terms of their future, but it's never too late for God to move. But the bottom line is she's also going to have to submit to his will of not wanting to have children because she already committed to being married to this man.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Mrs.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me about that because it was just puzzling to me. And I just said, I know you always talk about being equally yoked. And like I said, I want to go to the second phase of my life as being equally yoked with somebody when God sends me someone.
I got you. All right, Mrs.
Okay.
C, we thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, both of you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have Tiffany, love your name, on line 5. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. So there we have another Tiffany. Well, welcome to our show. We're talking about spring cleaning our relationships.
Yes, and my comment was to, I heard a couple of the ladies saying, and you were saying, Marcos, about changing your spouse, and I had to learn because I went through all different kind of stuff with my husband in the beginning of our relationship. We weren't saved, and as we became saved and we got closer to God, he started to change. God started to change him. I had to back up and let God change him and stop trying to change him myself. And the more God changed him, the closer we became.
Okay, great. Well, how did that go about? I mean, if you could explain that, because I know we have a lot of listeners who they don't say they want to change their spouse, but they do. And if it's something that needs to change, no matter how much you say it, it's going to come out like you're nagging. So at what point do you say, okay, let God change them, and exactly what happened?
Well, for me, I had to go to counseling for myself because I wanted to understand why I accepted a lot of the stuff in my marriage, and two, I wanted to know how can I help it to get better. So as I went through counseling, and I went through counseling, of course, with a Christian counselor because I went through counseling with a worldly counselor, and it was a totally different aspect. So when I went through my Christian thing, she helped me to see things differently. And a lot of times we think, oh, this partner has to change, but we're not realizing what we're doing. And that's making them not want to change because we're not putting in effort. They're not going to want to put in effort.
Okay. Okay. Well, that I think that's important. But you were saying, and if you don't mind for me to ask you, Tiffany, you said that there were some things that absolutely had to change.
I'm honest about everything. My husband had a problem with adultery.
Okay.
And it was
a
child in my marriage.
A child outside of your marriage?
Yes, well, yeah, a child outside of the marriage.
Okay.
And, you know, for a long time I didn't understand why, and this was after I was saved, I constantly say, God, why am I going through this? If I'm your child, why are you putting me through this? Why am I hurting like this? And, you know, eventually I realized that he was doing it because I've had people close to me that went through the same thing, and I was able to help them through it, but at the time I didn't understand it.
Okay.
And I guess after my husband being saved and becoming a minister in the church, he realized that, you know, it was time to change and that he couldn't no longer do what he was doing.
Okay. I think I get you. I'm a little bit confused about him changing, being a minister first and changing later. That I'm a little confused.
Well, he changed first, and then he became a minister. But it was on his heart to become a minister, and I think that's what pushed him to change.
So basically, he started growing this passion for wanting to please God and not doing things his own way.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, great. That's very encouraging to you. And when you said earlier you had this problem, he had a problem with adultery, I tell you, for anyone listening out there, one spouse has a problem with adultery, you both have a problem with adultery because it involves the both of you. So thank you so much for sharing that. We do appreciate that.
Just a little hint for the women. We have to realize that a lot of women out there, for some reason, and I pray for them all the time, like, he had a helper in his situation. The person that he committed adultery with didn't care about my feelings. She just wanted him. She knew of me, but she just wanted him. So it takes a lot from the men to actually say no, because these women nowadays really don't care, especially the worldly ones. They don't care about nobody else's feelings but their own.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany. God bless.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to line 44 Zareda calling in. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Okay.
Yes. Good morning.
You're live on the air.
Good morning. Oh, my God. It's wonderful to be able to get through. Been listening to you guys for about 2 years now, and I made some major changes. I completely relocated.
Okay.
And got out of a relationship with a married man, and it's something that I had printed. It was printed in my church newsletter that I'm now a member of, and it really deals to me with the art, you know, the art of saying goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely related to Psalms 1, which, you know, lets us know that sometimes you have to clean your inner house and say goodbye to all the bad things and bad associations, drugs, relationships, anything which stands in the way of your brightest spirit or a cleaner heart.
And Sarita, if you don't mind me asking, so you were the other woman in the relationship?
Yes, I was.
Okay, and let me ask you, how was God working on your heart? Because obviously you knew that was wrong, and yet it probably wasn't easy to let go of that because you were trying to do things your way. And I think a lot of times the other woman, you know, they believe the lie as well, that, okay, the husband is not happy at home, he needs you, and all that kind of, you know, the lies that you get caught up in. But I want to say,
absolutely,
especially, first of all, I want to say we commend you for
then
doing the right thing.
It was hard to let go, but the thing about it was, even as the other woman, I kind of felt like she was the other woman because he was with me all the time. I didn't miss any holidays.
Mm.
We were excellent friends. We got along wonderfully. I mean, eventually he did get a divorce, but at that point I moved on because I realized, you know, I had already been supposedly become saved and been baptized, but when I started really embracing what it meant and repentance and the things I had to do and change in my life, that's when the real change came about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard.
Absolutely. All right, well, we have a lot to say about that, but we thank you so much being the other woman
and
making that change.
Can I just read the quick poem?
Actually, we have to take a break.
We have to take a break. So if you could hold on, and we can see if we can get you back in here.
I'll hold.
All right. Thanks
all
so
right.
much.
Yes, you are tuning into Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Don't touch that dial because we're going to come back with the final segment of today's show. More conversation continues after this.
To Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of today's program. Before we broke, or went to break, before we broke, before we went to break, we had Zareda on the line who was about to bless us with a very brief poem. And Zareda, if you're still there, we're going to let you say that poem. Remember, we just need you to give us that, and we're going to say thank you for today. All right?
Okay, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, go for it. You're live on the air.
There are many ways to say goodbye, each selected by its own merit. A choice made from the moment of hello, the force, the power of a union, merely seconds long or seconds short of eternity. How urgent is the desire of separation? How resplendent the foregone goodness? How vivid the bygone pain? Oh, yes, there are many ways to say goodbye. Memories which cling to serve to select the penalty for crimes of the heart. The angels and the demons turn to face each other, and the art of saying goodbye is rendered in all the glory and in all the infamy of Two Hearts.
All right. Zareda, thank you so much for sharing that poem. We definitely appreciate it, and we hope you have a fantastic day. And we definitely appreciate those who are artistically inclined. I had to overemphasize that.
We appreciate it so much, but we just want to remind everyone, you know, it becomes a slippery slope because we know you have a passion to share. Mm-hmm. But let me remind you that our show is about marital advice, relationship advice, biblical advice coming from those things. So we really want to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Unfortunately, if there are any other poems, we're just not going to be
able to allow it today
mm-hmm. or maybe even in the near future. But we got to go on. We do have quite a few people patiently waiting on hold over at the phone line. So let's go. I believe line two is Diane.
All right, Diane, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
How
Thank
are
you so much. We're talking about spring cleaning. What is
yes.
your comment or question for us today?
Yes, I just had a quick question. Is it wrong for me to want to, I did the spring cleaning, but I really don't want to talk to him, like, because I don't want to be looked upon as being a bad, you know, Christian. You know, mm-hmm. he knows that I'm, you know, a Christian. I left him for a reason, and I told him the reason why, and he said he understood. But yet when, and I still try to keep the friendship open, the doors open for just communication. But yet when we talk, it's always a debate about, oh, what are you sacrificing? Why are you fasting? You know, and it just really starting to really get on my nerve. But I don't want to be mean to him. I don't want to be rude to him. I don't want to ignore his calls. But when he do call me, it's just that I know he's still angry that, you know, I closed the door, but I didn't slam the door. I just closed it gently and still try to be friends. But I'm feeling kind of bad because when he send me little texts and he'll say, hey, baby, or hey, sweetie, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm not your baby or your sweetie.
Diane.
So I don't answer him.
Okay,
but
Diane,
when he
Diane,
say, hi,
listen,
Diane, I say hello back.
All right, Diane, we need you to listen. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Is this your husband?
No.
Okay, so this was just someone you were dating?
Yes.
Okay, and you feel like it's over? You left. You don't want to be in this relationship.
Exactly.
Was it based on sin? Was it a sinful relationship?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think in any way it would be wrong if you don't talk to this man anymore. I mean, I think you're being a friend enough to put your foot down and do this the right way. You need to focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if he's a distraction and it's not helpful, then you don't need to be. You owe this man nothing.
Okay.
So that's fine.
I was feeling bad, and I told him exactly what you just said. I'm just trying to focus on God. And it seemed like when I start the date, it's even the churchmen, they always want to cross the line, and I don't understand it. I sometimes I just get tired of being alone. I'm a divorcee, you know, and I've been divorced for years, you know, and I'm just alone. So I'm gonna start dating again, but then it's like, I want to abstain from sex. I want to get closer to God. And I meet these men, and they're not where I'm at, you know.
Okay, and so this is the thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong. It's actually right for you to slam the door if any of these men want anything from you that's not pure.
Okay,
so if you're striving to do the right thing, look, it's not wrong. Slam the door. You know, Jesus went ahead and cracked the whip when people were doing something wrong. So I'm not saying go ahead and hit these men, but, you know, slam the door. Close it shut.
Okay.
Deadbolted, all right?
Thanks so much. Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for your phone call. Again, we are Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Still have a little bit more time for you to call in. We'd love for you to reach out to us at 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. Janet is calling in on line three. Good morning, Janet. You're live on the air.
Hi.
All right. We need you to please, Janet, turn your radio all the way off.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes. Like you said, my name is Janet. I've been married 4 years. 1 year, my husband was incarcerated. He just came home when my father passed.
Okay.
And I was going through a lot of spiritual and mental changes and... then this year, he just up and deserted me with nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, police come to the door and serve me with a lawsuit paper suing me for calling his girlfriend's house. I found it in my cell phone, his girlfriend's house, to tell him to come help me move this stuff. if he's not going to move. He knows that I'm disabled. Mm-hmm. And I had to go to court. And I have no representation. I have God. I believe in God, mm-hmm. and all my trust is in Jesus. And I can't sue him for nothing, but the defamation of character, you know, he's saying I'm an alcoholic. I'm clean 25 years,
mm-hmm.
okay? Whatever he's doing out there, I just want to be left alone, or if somebody there could help me as far as the legal mm-hmm. aspect on this thing, I really appreciate some help and a lot of prayer.
Okay. Well, a couple of things here, Janet. Number one, let me get this straight. So you married your husband while he was still in jail?
I married 2 years before.
Okay, so you married him before. He ended up going to jail.
Yes, sir.
And then he comes back home.
Yes.
And leaves you for someone else.
Yes, this year.
Okay. And then you call his girlfriend's house.
Yes.
So he can tell him that he needs to move his stuff.
Yes, sir.
And he sues you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I really think that's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, first of all, is he still legally your husband?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I think you definitely have a case. I wish I could tell you, okay, go ahead and, you know, we could help you. We don't really have, like, a legal department, anything else. I don't know if someone is able to do this, you know, pro bono or not.
Yeah.
But one of the things, I know someone that advertises a lot here, and you might want to just get them, you know, just a simple advice from them,
yes.
is myphillylawyer.com.
Oh, I heard it now.
All right.
And like I said, I only get the SSI check. I can't mm-hmm. afford anyone. But what you all can do for me
mm-hmm.
is just, and I will do the same for you, so I won't go turn back mm-hmm. to what I used to be.
Because
years ago, this wouldn't happen like this. Mm-hmm. There would be some vengeance.
Yes.
God is keeping me from doing a lot of things that I'm capable of doing.
Is
for you all to just keep me in prayer. And you know, just keep me in prayer. I keep you in prayer. And I know that way I could, even if I have to pull it through with mm-hmm. me and the Lord, you know, alone.
Absolutely. And you know what, Janet? We're going to do more than that. We want you to stay on the line. We want to stay connected with you. We obviously even want to pray with you. And so, Janet, we thank you. Look, you're staying clean and sober. You're doing the right thing. You know, stay strong.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
Don't go anywhere. Stay on the line, please.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to line 5 and speak with Ricky. Ricky, good morning. You're live on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, good morning. What is your comment or question for us this morning?
My name is Ricky, and I got a comment about spring cleaning in the relationship.
Okay.
My husband and I have been married for over 30 years. And I love her to death. She's a very beautiful, beautiful woman. But recently, we've been going through a lot of problems.
Okay.
And it's not caused by us, really. It's caused by outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also caused by our son. Mm-hmm. It all started with him. It's
okay.
Like he has gone around and turning people against my wife and me.
Okay.
He is actually satanic.
Okay, and how old is your son?
He's 22.
Okay, and he's getting people against you and your wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Where we live, that we had to move, our water turned green there.
Why?
Because of the satanic stuff that he does there.
Okay.
And he left.
Okay.
And while he was out, we got another place.
Mm-hmm.
And the day we was moving to the other place, he came back.
Why do you take a 22-year-old man back?
He had no place else to go right then.
Okay.
And I hated to put him because, you know,
I'm sorry, Ricky, we're having a hard time. You're coming in and out. If you could speak a little louder or a little closer to the microphone, that would be helpful.
Okay.
All right. So basically, so what is your comment or question for us?
The spring cleaning I'm talking about in this relationship is getting rid of all the the satanic and demonic forces.
Okay.
Even when we move to our new place, the same thing happened at our new place that happened at our old place, and we can't stay there. Okay. We in and out of hotel rooms, running back and forth, and every time I go back over to the place to get even check the mail, stuff happens. My wife is sick. We go to take her to the doctor. They can't find anything wrong with her.
Okay.
She's in very bad pain. They can't find no reason for the pain.
Okay. Now, Ricky, this is what I'm going to share with you because I really don't want to get off topic. I think it's very interesting what you're sharing, and we can probably have a huge conversation about this. My biggest thing is the Bible teaches in the book of James, if you know the good that you ought to do, but you don't do it, you sit. There are some things you know you have to do, whether it's confront your son, whether it's not to let him back in. I mean, whatever. He's an adult man. I just want to encourage you to do the good that you know you ought to do in the situation. I mean, what is that? What do you think you need to do?
That. Huh? We tried that, too.
You tried that, okay.
That's when he just left permanently.
Oh, okay. So he's not there anymore?
No. But since he's been gone, people still stare at my wife. They could, we could put up at a stop sign or a red light, and every eye focuses on her.
Okay.
And it's you can see the evilness. That's still following us. And like I said, we had to move from our second place. We're trying to get a third place now. But every time I go check the mailbox and come back, it's like the evilness is trying to get into me and follow us from place to place.
Okay. Well, and Ricky, I'm just going to share this one passage with you. And this is all we can really do for you right now, but it's a powerful scripture. And Jesus says in Mark 9:29, this can only come out by prayer. And so what I want to encourage you is that there are some things that only God can do and change in this situation. So we'll be praying for you, Ricky, and you know, we're sorry about your situation. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thanks again. Let's go to Mrs. Smith calling in on line 4. Mrs. Smith, good morning. You're live on the air. Please make sure your radio is all the way off in the background.
Okay.
Mrs. Smith.
Hello, Mrs. Smith.
Okay. Mrs. Smith is listening to the radio. She'll get it in 8 seconds. Let's go to Mrs. Lee on line 2. Mrs. Lee, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I'm doing very well. What is your comment or question for us? We're talking about spring cleaning your relationship.
Hi. My comment is to the lady that closed the door and did not slam it.
Yes.
I say slam that puppy and slam it good.
It's not a puppy, though.
And I'm not married or anything like that, but a few years back, I met a friend, and I fell. And I made a vow to God that I would never do it again. But since then, me and that friend, you know, we talk every now and then. But I've made up in my mind there is no hand held, there's no lip touching, and there's definitely nothing else. Because if you want to build your relationship up with God, that's what you have to focus on. Because the Holy Spirit will keep you from falling. If you want to be kept, He will keep you. There's nothing funny about me, but it's building my relationship up with God and God alone. That is all I want to say. She should not feel guilty because the devil will bring you somebody in that will dress up, smell good, look good, and everything else just to tear your relationship up with God.
Absolutely.
But if your mind is bent on going with God, do just that.
All right. Mrs. Lee, real quick, and just for clarity's sake, when you say you met this friend and you fell, you're talking about you were sleeping together. You were having sexual relationship.
Right, one time.
Okay. And here's the thing. And then you said you slammed the door. Let me encourage you and everyone else. There's a passage that I love very much. Obviously, we love the scriptures and we love the word of God. But it simply says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I want to encourage everyone that it's okay to say no to the past. Okay, you've changed. You shouldn't go to the places you used to go to. You shouldn't walk the way you used to walk. You should not talk the way you used to talk. So I think I want to encourage you all that the old is gone. Spring cleaning your relationship means get rid of anything that's not good and is not beneficial for your relationship, number one, with God, secondly, with your spouse. Thank you so much for your call.
All right. Thanks again. If you need to make, and we'd love for you to make a last-minute comment before the end of the show, give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. Mrs. Smith is back on line 4. Mrs. Smith, good morning. Live on the air.
Morning.
Hi,
good morning. Welcome to a program. We're talking about spring cleaning your relationship.
I can't hear you very well.
Okay.
Hello?
Can you hear me now? We having a hard time hearing you. Are you
yes.
outside?
Okay, Mrs. Smith, you're going to have to, all right, yeah, Mrs. Smith, you have to, and everybody, you have to listen to the phone. If you are driving, you have to turn your windows up, or in fact, we encourage you to actually pull over.
Over.
So the sound of the wind in the background is not disruptive to you or to the program. So again, give us a call at 215-263-1039, 877-995-7644. I guess we can try to give Mrs. Smith a try. Mrs. Smith, line four, hello.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call this morning. Can you hear me okay?
We do. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay, I can good. Now, and right, I apologize. Good.
No, that's okay. So what is your comment or question for us this morning?
My question is, it's very difficult for me. I'm a married woman. I think I'm the focus of the spring cleaning.
Okay.
I currently live separately from my husband, and we attend the same church. Occasionally he comes to church, and he'll sit near me, but he's withholding affection, and I'm not sure how to handle it right now. You know, we had talked about not divorcing, but he had mentioned needing time now to get himself together financially and spiritually, but isn't really giving me a lot of explanation. I chalked it up to midlife crisis. You know, I have been verbally pretty abusive in the past and threatened divorce in the past, and we've never really gotten counseling for it. But at this point, it just feels like his heart has waxed very cold toward me. However, he does check in with me visually, shows up at the places I'm at, rolls by the place that I'm living. But I'm not sure how to handle the lack of affection and the communication, and I just need some encouragement and some advice.
Okay. What was the agreement about separation? What did you both decide?
It was vague, but it was decided that we move separately in order to rent out a place that we own for financial reasons. But I was under the impression that we would move into the same place. But it didn't happen. I ended up moving ahead of him, and then he ended up moving into a different place rather than joining me, as we had talked about doing.
Okay, I got you. Because when the Bible talks about separation, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is when they separate for any reason other than a biblical reason, whether it's financial, whether it's because, you know, they're angry at each other, whatever the case may be. You know, in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about not depriving each other except by mutual consent. And it says for a time, meaning that there should be a plan. You know, this is very basic, and I'm not trying to undermine what you and your husband had already discussed, but sometimes we don't take things to God, and we make our own decisions, and it gives room for Satan. You know, sometimes, even in that scripture in 1 Corinthians 7 that I just read, it says that you should come together so that Satan would not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The obvious one is to think about maybe sex is an issue. But I believe that there's more to it than that. There are other things that Satan can bring and tempt us. And it's obvious that somehow Satan got in this relationship. You were supposed to move somewhere. He was supposed to join you. He never did. You're still married. Obviously, he has feelings. He doesn't know how to, you know, communicate these feelings. You're hurt. You feel resentful. And then, you know, it's like this downward spiral, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And so what I want to encourage you, Mrs. Smith, is to get some type of counseling. Because if you don't get counseling, do you believe your husband's open to getting together?
He's not giving me a lot of answers. I know he's not open to counseling. You know, unfortunately, I'm a counselor. And so it's almost as though it's two against one from the very beginning.
All right, hold on a second. So you're a counselor. So why did you go about it this way? Why did you separate for financial reasons and for a house? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me on the other side listening to this. It's like, why would you do that?
Well, it was very stressful. And so when you say there's other things underlying, you know, I believe there possibly was some infidelity as well. But because he's not communicating that, you know, you can only, I want to go with my intuition, but I really want him to communicate it. And he denies that there has been. But I believe that it feels like, because he's so easily you know, able to be by himself and not be affectionate, that I believe there is someone else involved in his life that he's not being honest about. So I believe that's part of it. But sometimes they say the surgeon can't do surgery on themselves. We're both Christians, you know, we both raised, born and raised and know the Bible. And so I guess the counseling part, I just didn't want to apply to myself. I guess I'm in denial.
Yeah,
about
and it
that.
Sounds like, and really sounds like, because if you were giving someone else advice, and it would be biblical, you would never tell them to do what you did. And you definitely would not tell them to try to make this work on their own. You need help. You need someone. I mean, sometimes things get to a point where we need someone who's not biased, who's not going to be partial, you know, someone impartial, and say, wait a minute, what are you doing here? Like, I mean, your husband needs to hear it. You need to hear it. I mean, it sounds like it's not just him, though. I just want you to know that. It sounds like it's absolutely the both of you. And if you think he's unfaithful, but you're not sure, but you're acting on that, it's getting complicated. The best and simple thing to do is to sit down with someone, even if it's just you at first, and talk through this situation. You know, we don't have the time to do that over the air, but I invite you, you know, if you're willing to get together and have a conversation and chat, I would love to, because there's more to this, and it's become complex.
I really appreciate that honesty, because I do need to look at myself as well. But I would like to get your information and possibly, you know, talk with you further.
Absolutely. I'm about to give you that right now. Just give me a quick second. The number to reach me outside of the studio is
717-862-VOWS,
V-O-W-S, which is 8697. 717-862-8697. Thank you so much for your call, Mrs.
Thank
Smith.
You.
God bless. And we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Mrs. T on line three. Mrs. T, good morning. You're live on the air.
Oh,
there?
Hello.
Okay, yeah, please turn your radio off.
Okay.
Okay, and we're talking about here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, about spring cleaning your relationship. What is your comment or question for us today?
Actually, right behind Mrs. Smith.
Okay.
It would be the flip side for me. I left my 12-year marriage with my 7-year-old because we were, he seemed very detached from us emotionally and physically. Anyway, and it was very, the terms were very undefined. Mm-hmm. I can't speak to why Mr. Smith is not communicating, but there is no extramarital anything. It's just pain, really.
Okay.
But, so in any event, I want to go back. I mean, 12 years, and, you know, I would like to stay married. And pretty much the pinnacle was actually literally cleaning. Mm-hmm. Our roles was that I would always take care of the house and clean, and he worked, and then he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And then it just physically became too much for me.
Okay.
So it pretty much was about cleaning. So then he would say, he'll do this, he'll do that, and all the words were there, but none of the actions to follow.
Okay.
So
that led you to separate because of that?
Right, and it was more of a, it wasn't like it was planned, it was just like when you're sort of...
You were fed up. You know, you were fed up.
Fed up and just exhausted and could not do anymore. I had nothing more to give.
Okay, but you know, we get fed up with a lot of things. I mean, you could have been fed up at life and you didn't leave your 7-year-old.
No, I took him.
Of course. So, I mean, I think if for Mrs. T, the first thing we got to go back to is understanding that if our marriage is going to work, it has to have a biblical foundation.
You know,
if we would go by our feelings all the time, and look, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I can't imagine what it was like, and I'm sure it was very challenging. But you always got to go back to the scriptures and say, okay, what is it that God wants? Because 12 years, you know, even if it was 1 year, I mean, you made a commitment, you made a vow, and separation, it's okay. There are times where it's absolutely necessary and it's needed. And I recommend it at times, not in every case. And so if you're listening out there, don't think, oh, he's telling me I should get separated. No, in many cases, though, where things are very severe and people need time, space, or something to heal, you know, it's okay. It's biblical. It's good, but it should have a mutual consent. And it shouldn't be to bring you further apart. It's to separate you for a minute so that when you come together, you're even closer. And
that is my hope.
Exactly. But if you did not plan that from the beginning, I mean, where is he right now? Is he still home? Is he at home?
Yeah, okay. I left and went to a family member.
Okay.
And part of it was because the house is too much for me.
Sure. Sure. Now, it sounds like he needs some kind of therapy. I mean, is he depressed? Is he, you know, I mean, what's going on? If it's too much, it sounds to me like he's in this depression or this mode where he's not cleaning. He said he was injured. I mean, is he getting any type of therapy and help?
Well, and there's been attempts, and he's been open to go with me a couple times, but he still is, like, very resistant. Just very resistant.
Okay, what about now? Does he want you back?
Yes, and just like your other caller, I feel like the guy because, you know, when I'm trying to say something, there's so much in there. There's so many things that you could, you know, mm-hmm. pick. So when I go to the house, I try to communicate, but then I shut down.
Okay. Well, same thing that I said, and I've been saying it over and over again, and I think you know this because you even called. Sometimes we need someone else's input. And it sounds like absolutely you and your husband need some kind of therapy, some kind of counseling. Because there are more things underlying here.
Absolutely.
It sounds like he's depressed, it sounds like, you know, you're talking about relating to Mrs. Smith, or really Mr. Smith in this case, where you shut down because it's too much to handle. And, you know, sometimes we, you know, and this sounds incredibly simplistic, but, you know, they say the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. But sometimes
right.
we don't know where to take that bite. Like, where do we go? Where yeah. do we start? You know, and it really does make a difference where you start, because if you start at the wrong place, it becomes even more overwhelming and you open up a can of worms. You know, I was having a conversation earlier about, you know, hoarders and how sometimes people have, you know, so much stuff at home that it's like overwhelming to clean. You can't do it. And so how do you start? Well, first of all, if you ever watched that show Hoarders or know anything about it, even scientifically, it's usually the person themselves, they're not capable of doing it themselves. They need someone else to help them to get detached. And so it sounds like you absolutely need this. So I am going to volunteer my time. I would love to have a conversation, see if your husband's open to just talking. I would love to do that for you, if that's
possible.
Well,
and the thing is, when he's gone with me, and even the therapist, you know, separately, they'll say, he'll say, first off, you know, I don't need help.
He
but
says that?
He's the one that dominates conversation
okay.
and has so much to say.
Mm. Okay.
And also, with Mrs. Smith, I'm also a therapist.
All right. Today is Therapy Saturday, and we're talking to therapists. I think sometimes we are the most difficult people to get help because we think we have it all figured out, and we don't.
Well, no. I disagree with that, but I hear where you're coming from.
Well, you have more answers than you have questions. You know that, right? Everything that I'm telling you, you're giving me a rebuttal.
Am I?
Absolutely.
Then you're right. I need a frying pan over the head.
Sometimes we do. You know, not a frying pan, but we need, you know, a nice little rebuke sometimes. It comes in handy. But, you know, here's the thing. We got to just listen. And you're good at listening for other people's problems, but you're having a hard time listening for your particular situation.
Thank you for giving me the 411 on that.
All right. But listen, please, let's try to get in contact. We're absolutely out of time, unfortunately. And that's the challenge of having to do this over the air. But I do invite you. I don't know if you have my number. I gave it out earlier. It's 717-862-8697.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your show.
All right, Mrs. T. Thank you. God bless as well.
All right.
Before we end here, I just mm-hmm. want to leave a last, we started last week, just giving a nugget of wisdom
mm-hmm.
and something that maybe you did not know about marriage and about relationships. I know when I first heard this, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. In the Bible times, you know, in the first century and even before that, in the Jewish custom, when they had weddings, they would celebrate for days. And what one of the things that they would do is when the husband and wife would get married, they would run and go to this little room, to like a little hut,
mm-hmm.
and all the wedding party would wait outside that room while the husband and wife made love, consecrated themselves, and came out with a cloth showing her virginity, and everyone would celebrate. Now, I don't know how awkward that would be. But, you know, I know today what we do is we go on a honeymoon and we come back. Everyone sees us smiling and they're like, so what happened? But let me tell you, wouldn't that be awkward today during the wedding reception? Excuse us. We're going to go to this little back room and everyone waits outside and you come out and they applaud. Woo, yay, you made love. And so, but just for your information, that's how pure and clear sexual relationships with between a husband and wife was in the first century. Today, we've made it into something else that it isn't. So I'm not saying let's go back to that, but just keep in mind how awesome and pure that was in the eyes of God.
Amen to that. And with that, we want to say thanks to Ron, our producer down in Charlotte. Much love to our producer here in Philly, Larry. Much love to Sam, who is, I guess you could say, our associate producer helping us out. Thank you so much. And definitely much love to you. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a peaceful, positive, and productive week, and we will catch you next time on Marriage Beyond the Vows. Have a good one. Bye-bye.